Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. God bless you. Thank God that you're here today. Thank God God is so good. Our lesson today, we're going to be dealing with sickness. And our lesson title is, Whose Fault Is It? Now, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to St. John, chapter 9. Okay, I hope you have it. All right, it begins reading thus. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? That he was born blind. Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, How were your eyes opened? He answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. We're going to stop right there for now. Beginning of the chapter, it says that Jesus passed by, and he saw. You know, previously in chapter 8, Jesus had got some of the Pharisees and people pretty stirred up. They were very angry with him. And most of all because of one statement that he said before Abraham was, I am. So at that statement alone, they knew that he was identifying himself with God. And that was grounds for blasphemy. So they took up stones ready to kill him. But the interesting thing is that he slipped away from them. He went right through the midst of them. Now, you would think someone who got a crowd so angry that they're ready to kill you and grab stones and start, you would be running for your life. But Jesus just calmly just went away. And they didn't know where he went. And the verse begins, He saw as he passed. He saw. He wasn't caught up in his own self, like, gotta get out of here, oh. But here, even in the heat of this thing, he always saw opportunities that the Father would be glorified. Here was an opportunity. He happened to pass by a man. Not really happened. It was ordained. but he passed by a man who was there begging, who was blind. Excuse me. Okay, that's done with. Now, this man sat there begging. And I wonder, and I think, I would imagine being blind, and I can't even imagine that, but being blind, never able to see, never even able to imagine that one day you would see. Maybe he had heard, or maybe others had told him, which the question rose from his disciples. Master, whose fault was this? Was it this man's fault that he was born blind? Or was it his parents? They just felt it was someone's fault of sin, that this man had to commit terrible sin, or his parents. This was the way of thinking through the traditional leaders and the people of that time, and even our time. Someone may be sick. And I remember ministering to a couple, someone may be sick, and right away the parents or someone may have that guilt to say, you know, it must be something I did. Or God is punishing me. Or maybe they think my parents must have did some bad things, or maybe a secret sin, and this affliction or something has come upon me. You would be surprised how people have this manner of thinking, and how the enemy will accommodate them and will ridicule them and try to push that way of thinking even more and more within them to the point of hopelessness, that they feel, I have to go the rest of my life in this condition because I'm being punished. Or God is going to get glory from this. He's going to be glorified by me having this affliction or suffering. And he's going to be made great. He's going to be glorified. Let me tell you something, my friends. Sickness is never God's best. He wants the best for you. God's best is healing. Total, complete healing. And in this area here, he demonstrated his best, what his desire is. He saw that man. Now, we know some received their sight, some weren't blind, maybe by disease or certain things, you know. But this man was born blind from birth. From birth. He was born blind. Now, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Right there. If some people could just take that right there and realize whatever condition you have, God did not punish you. He did not give it to you. He did not punish you. It's not his will for you. No, Jesus said, he didn't sin, nor his parents sinned. Now, if you want to really think about it, if you go back, of course, everyone was born a sinner. But here he's talking about some horrible sin that someone committed, horrible crime, something bad, so that this was God's judgment upon them. No, no, no. God is a good God. He does not want his people suffering. He does not want his people in pain and in agony and in misery. He does not want his people blind, spiritually or physically. Jesus went on to say, he wasn't born blind because of sin, nor his parents. But it says here, but, in other words, at last or at least, now, the work of God should be revealed in him. I'm here now. That's not the reason why he was born blind. Nevertheless, if you want to say sin or his parents sin, no, I'm letting you know it's not that. It says, but here, I'm here now, so God's glory can be revealed. I want you to know that God is a good God, and his desire is for healing. His desire is for sight. His desire is for you not to walk in darkness in anything. Darkness in your finances, darkness in your body, darkness in your spiritual life. He said that he is the light of the world. He is the light. I want you to think about this blind man, accustomed to daily going near the temple to beg. This is all he knew to do all of his life. He could not work a job. It was a burden to his parents, a burden to the community. They felt the shame and the guilt of this individual, and they had the pity, and they gave money to him. By all means, they realized he can't work. He was born blind. Even in their hearts, they thought he was justifiably born blind because something his parents did or something he did. But yet, they gave to him, and he was accustomed to come back again and again for the daily handout. And we don't know if he knew who Jesus was or even heard anything about Jesus, but later on it says that all he knew was this man named Jesus. He may have never even heard anyone talking about how he heals the sick or opens blind eyes. But Jesus saw him. Jesus sees you. And unlike the blind man, many people who can see Jesus in the, not in the natural, in the physical realm, but through his word, still have the things of this life and so many doubts involved, they would feel it's impossible if they knew Jesus was a healer. Well, my condition is so bad, it's nothing Jesus can do for me. My condition is just impossible. With man, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Now, this blind man didn't know who Jesus was, but he was obedient to his voice. Jesus went down on the ground, mixed some ground, okay, with saliva, his spit. Now, had the blind man possibly known that, or someone else would have probably went, gross. Ugh. Now, Jesus could have just said, be opened. So many ways it could have just, the man's eyes could have been opened. But he chose to bend down on the ground mixed dirt and saliva and put it on the man's eyes. Paste the dirt and the spit mixture on the man's eyes. No doubt that man did not know what was happening. He did not know what it was, the mixture. All he knows, he felt something on his eyes. And he heard Jesus' command, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which the Bible says is translated sent. Go, number one, wash. Wash where? In the pool of Siloam, which means sent. In other words, Jesus demonstrated that any man who walked in him will not walk in darkness because he is the light. He opened the blind man's eyes. He gave him that instruction, go and wash. That pool, it could have been any pool. It could have been, it could have told him to go back into your mother's parents' home and get some water and put it in the basin and wash it off. But no, that pool was known as Siloam, which interpreted means sent. That those who are in darkness might believe on him whom God has sent, Jesus. This man, Jesus, whom God has sent. He told me to go wash. And now I see. Whose fault is it? We dealt with some of these myths. Oh, the parents. Oh, something I did. Now, over in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I want you to turn there with me. Here Jesus is talking, and he's giving some awesome words here. He says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This man knew this without a shadow of a doubt that day, that Jesus came to give him life and to have it more abundantly. Before, he was used to sitting at the temple gates, sitting there begging, maybe in the marketplace, but somewhere always begging, looking for a handout. Now he had the ability to see. Now he has the ability to work, earn a living, earn a trade, learn things. Now he's experiencing life more abundantly. God does not want you walking in darkness. That darkness of your mind that's saying, okay, this sickness, maybe it was my grandmom's or my grandpa's or it runs in my family. Therefore, I have to put up with this. I have to have this. I have to deal with this. But it's not so. It is not true. It is not true that you have to suffer with any sickness or any disease. It's not because of any sin that you have committed. The thief, he said, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Who is the thief? The enemy. When you're sick, you can't go to work most of the time. When you're sick, you can't really enjoy the things of life. You're in pain or misery. This is not God's will for you. he clearly says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This man sat in darkness. Jesus came to give him life abundantly. And it began by him coming out of darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. Maybe you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior already. If you haven't, I hope you'll allow him to come into your life and give you that abundant life that he so desires to give you. Maybe you have received Jesus, and for some reason, you're sitting in spiritual darkness in your minds because you're thinking in your mind that this is God's will for me, as if you have never received Jesus. He has given you light. But if the enemy has blinded your eyes that you cannot see in his word by unbelief, and you refuse God's word, and you begin to believe in your heart, this is what God wants for me. No. He says in John, beloved, I wish above all that you might prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. I want you to get it in your mind. I want your mind to prosper and to begin to see that my will for you is healing. And as you begin to see this, your body has to take suit and follow. As you believe it, all things are possible to him that believes. Okay. Do not accept anything that's contrary to God's word. Jesus demonstrated in his earthly ministry his will. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That's what the Bible says in Acts 10:38. He went about doing good. He went about doing good because God is good. God doesn't get any pleasure out of your sickness or disease. He doesn't get any pleasure out of that. But Jesus clearly demonstrated. And the Bible says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I hope you can see it very clear. He went about healing all who were oppressed from the devil. They were oppressed from the devil. Jesus healed them. Whose fault is it? We can definitely put the blame on the enemy. He's the one at fault. He's the one who has attacked you. Now, all you have to do is believe on him who God has sent. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Believe on him. Believe. Just as God said that he anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. The Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God said, he does not change. I change not. In the previous chapter, they got mad because he identified himself with God. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. I change not. I am. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. They even asked him at one point, you're not old as Abraham. How can you say Abraham saw my day? Before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus clearly demonstrated in his ministry on the earth his will, the will of God, his will, the will of the Father, the will of the Son. He demonstrated that God's will for you is healing. Now, what's your part to play in this? Believing by faith. The stripes that Jesus bore in his body was for your healing. By his stripes, you were healed. Now, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it seems like. I don't care what you've been diagnosed with. You have to agree with God and begin to say, I am healed. The oppressor will say to you, are you crazy? Don't you feel the pain? Don't you see the condition? What did the doctor say? What did the exam say? You have to take medicine. I am healed. Now, he said to the woman, well, she dared to push through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment. She had already said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She spoke it. She believed it. And Jesus said, whatsoever things you ask for, you pray, if you believe and do not doubt, you will have whatsoever you say. She said it. She believed it. And he said to her, when he asked who touched me, the disciples said, what? Oh, everybody's touching you. He said, oh, no, someone touched me. And when she stood out in the midst, he says, your faith has made you whole. Your faith. You did it. Jesus is right there with you right now. Now, every day, even right now, as you speak to your body and as you believe by faith that you are healed, you can have what you say. If you need to just feed your hearing with healing scriptures, and the word of God, even this message, again and again and again, as faith builds up in your heart, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as you begin to declare over your body, I am healed, and speak to your body, that foot, that stomach, the eyes, whatever it is. And it's going to have to obey you. Jesus said if he would speak to that mountain, and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And do not doubt that those things you say, it surely come to pass. You'll have what you say. So speak to your mountain. And it's going to have to obey. You speak. You speak. Be relentless. Continue it. Until total manifestation takes place in your life. Be blessed, my friends. Healing belongs to you. God bless you. Until we meet again on this broadcast, he loves you. And his will for you is health, prosperity, a great life, abundant life. I have come, he said, that you might have life, and have it more abundantly. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Bye-bye.